Hello, everybody. Welcome to You Guys Five Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 116 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was they were trying to be tongue-in-cheek, but it's all tongue. So, Frank, what did you come up with for the tongue category?
So we're going to do a trifecta of horror movies that all have something to do with the tongue, kind of. We're going to talk about them in ascending order of chagrin. So from the least chagrinny to the most chagrinny, okay. I guess.
Uh-huh.
I try to find movies that, I don't know, there was a movie called Tongues, but I didn't feel like watching it. I don't know what that even was. I'll have to go back and look because it's saved somewhere. Maybe it's on Prime or something. The first movie, actually, I just watched because I wanted to watch it. I didn't realize that it necessarily fit the Spin Chagrin category, but it ended up working out, I guess. So that movie is called The Night Shifter. It is a 2018... is it Brazilian, maybe? I think it's Brazilian horror movie.
Okay, got it.
So the premise is that this guy, Stenio, is a technician at a morgue. And he has the unfortunate ability that's never really explained or discussed beyond like the fact that he just does it, to speak with the dead. Like, so when he's working on corpses, the corpses are talking to him and telling him things about their lives, or a lot of times they're not really sure, they're not aware that they're dead, you know? So they're talking about, like, the first guy that he cuts apart is a guy who was a thug that ended up getting murdered, and he's telling him, like, his story about how he's going to get revenge, and Stenio has to be like, you know, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but, you know, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like a connection to the afterlife or anything. It's just, they're still like, their spirit is still inhabiting their body. And you find out later in the movie that he can speak with dead people that have been dead for a lot longer. So, he lives with his, in a loveless marriage with his wife, who's an asshole. And his two kids, she constantly complains that he stinks of, like, formaldehyde and that he's gross and she doesn't really respect his job. So he comes to find out through a corpse comes in one night that's mocking him. And he comes to find out that his wife is cheating on him with the local baker. A guy who he's always like in his shop. She spends all his money, so he constantly has to like borrow money in order to be able to like buy food and stuff. So he had learned from a corpse previously some details about the local like major like crime syndicate leader or whatever. And he uses that to go to, he uses the knowledge that he has to go to the guy and basically convince him to murder the baker, saying that the baker is the guy that like ratted out the crime leader's brother had gotten murdered because of a snitch in their organization. So he uses that information to tell the crime leader that it was the baker that actually snitched out his brother and caused him to get killed by the police. So the crime leader, like, one night when the wife and the baker are, like, out, like, coming back from a tryst, they get, like, stopped by the gang, who ends up murdering the guy. And then as the woman is, like, screaming about how could they murder him and she's going to call the police, she ends up getting killed as well. So his plan kind of backfires because he still like generally loves his wife. He just wants to eliminate the guy that's like cuckolding him basically.
Right.
So she ends up coming into the morgue as someone that he has to like prep. and they're talking, and as they talk to each other, and she sort of is the first kind of repentant, because she's like, you know, I know I was cheating on you, but I was trying to work up the courage to tell you. I didn't want to hurt you anymore, or whatever. Through talking, she realizes that he's the reason why, he admits that, you know, he didn't mean for her to die, and she realizes that he's the one that set it up where her and her lover got killed. So she then becomes this vengeful spirit. The baker's daughter, who I guess the baker's like much older than them, like maybe 10 or 15 years. So the baker's daughter, who was always nice to Stenio, ends up, like, you find out that she kind of has a crush on him, sort of, and she wants to help him take care of the kids because the kids are home alone at night. So they start to get haunted, like, initially, like, just minor stuff, like the TV coming on and stuff moving around. And finally, it starts to become violent. And you find out that it was his wife that's the one that's kind of, like, possessing people and manipulating things. And it escalates. Her spirit basically tells Stenio that she wants him to murder his new girlfriend, or else, you know, the daughter, or else she'll, like, kill his kids and take them away from him. So they end up, he ends up kind of, like, tricking her to the point where she can't get into the house anymore, because they find out, he goes to talk to a priest, and the priest basically tells him that you have to get rid of all the stuff that, like, she has any attachment to, or else she's always going to be able to come in and, like, you know, get at your children and get at you. Which he does, except that there's a ring that was still, like, left in the house that the girlfriend is, like, wearing unbeknownst to him, and that allows her to possess her. So some pretty brutal stuff with, like, the girlfriend being possessed and trying to, like, kill the kids, and she can, like, I guess the dead can cause the living to see, like, hallucinations, sort of. So there's several times where he hallucinates that the kids have been, like, brutally murdered and are, like, all covered in blood, and he ends up knocking her out and getting the ring away from her by, like, breaking her finger and, like, ripping it off, and that causes the wife's ghost to be, like, pushed outside. And the girlfriend wakes up and has no idea of, like, what had occurred, because she doesn't remember, like, anything while she was possessed. Just that, like, Stenio was kind of, like, beat her up because her hand's broken, and he, like, bashed her head in the wall a couple of times to try and knock her out anyway. So the wife's ghost is, like, outside the room that they're in, like, looking in the window and basically telling him, I'm never going to leave you alone. So he decides the only way that he can save his family is to leave him with the girlfriend and just kind of run away. So the end of the movie is him fleeing, like, running down the street and, like, slowly being, like, chased by all the people who were basically killed through his lies. So it's like the wife's ghost ends up killing, like, the gang leader and the guy that shot her, and there's some other people that were killed, like, as a result. So he ends up, or on the baker, obviously. So the end of the movie is him, like, running away with all these ghosts just, like, chasing after him.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, I enjoyed it. It's something that I don't remember if it's on Shudder or if it's on Prime. It might be on Shudder. It's something that I've, like, put off watching for a while.
Yeah, it's Shudder.
But I just decided, I think, like, Thursday night when Frankie was gone, just to watch it. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well acted. I thought the scares were pretty good. I think it's an interesting idea of, like, the revenge, kind of the woman scorned, kind of, even though, like, she, you know, because it causes all sorts of problems, and there's other stuff that I won't really get into that happens that's pretty effective and creepy. But that ultimately, like, you know, he could have just let her go, because the baker, like, you find out the scene before they get killed that the baker's, like, sort of losing interest in her and doesn't want to be, you know, he feels like people are starting to suspect, and he doesn't want to get a bad reputation for being a guy that, like, stole another man's wife. So he was going to leave her. So Stenio would have been like rid of the problem anyway. And ultimately, like, has this really great relationship with the daughter. So if he would have just like waited a little bit, he probably would have been much happier anyway, him and his kids. The whole talking to the dead thing is really effective. Like the practical mm-hmm. effects there of like the dead bodies, like talking is done really well. Yeah, it's just it's just good. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
No, well paced. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It was a surprise. It's something that if we were doing it anytime in the near future, probably would have been on a fresh vibe. Mm-hmm. I would think even though it's like a few years old. But yeah.
Nice.
So recommended if you subscribe to Shudder or you have some other way to watch it. Like I would say that it's definitely worth watching. So the next movie also was kind of like accidental. The third movie on the list, I actually put on the list when we did the Spin Chagrin last week. So it was something that I don't know if I had planned, but I had thought I was going to watch just because of the title. But the second movie was also kind of a surprise, and it's called Death Whisper.
Okay.
It's a Thai horror movie. It's on Netflix right now. It's sort of a similar idea where it's like this ghost, T-Yod is the ghost name, like possesses these people because it's like a ghost of, I don't know. Let me tell you something about Thai horror movies. They're the most boring fucking things in the world. Like, next to Indian horror movies, I don't know. Like, it's just, I wouldn't call them like goofy, but
because I was gonna say Indian horror movies, I think of most of the time is goofy.
Yeah, these aren't necessarily comedies, even though there's like elements of comedy in them. They just end up being really long and drawn out, and I think part of the issue, and this is just some like armchair or whatever personal insight that I have from, you know, like knowing Thai culture, I guess, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they're so tied to the idea of the spiritual world being like ingrained in the real world anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Buddhism in general and like Thai folklore and religion, like these spirits are things that actually exist to them. So I don't know if maybe it's that the filmmakers don't want to like anger a spirit too much by portraying it in a way that whatever, I don't know. The only movie that I've seen recently, Thai horror movie, is that the Medium movie
mm-hmm.
that we talked about last yeah. year or the year before, which is like pretty brutal and is really good. So Death Whisper, there's this ghost of vengeance, and the movie opens with this like, and actually it's a pretty pretty brutal scene, really. It's this girl basically like vomiting up her innards and like dying, and her family can't do anything to help it. So there's this family that lives on a farm. It's three sisters and three brothers, and one of the brothers is in the military. Like, he had volunteered to join the military, so he's gone in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle daughter gets possessed by T-Yod, which is like this spirit, and she stops eating and she turns into like this, she starts feeling like sick all the time, and then she becomes really mean to the sisters when nobody else is around. But then like nobody believes that she's like doing it. They just think that the older sister is overreacting. And eventually they have to figure out that the girl's possessed, and the older brother, who's now come back from the army, is the one that like is able to help drive out the spirit of T-Yod or whatever. I don't know. It's fucking boring. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of scenes. They're really like kind of stuck in the early 2000s of Japanese horror and the way that they present ghosts. So there's a couple of scenes of like long haired, glowy eyed, like rotten flesh monsters like popping over and
mm-hmm.
making faces and shit. But the majority of the movie is about like the family struggle The father is like really authoritarian and constantly like verbally abusive to his kids, and that's sort of is like accepted kind of in like the family, that it's just like that's just dad kind of. The mother is like sympathetic but also not necessarily like the most understanding person. I don't know. It's just really boring. The only thing I liked about it was like anytime I can watch a movie where I can see Thailand, it always makes me somewhat happy to just see the country and the food and stuff. So
yeah, the way that you're describing this movie is, and I've seen a handful that you've had me watch, like from Thailand, I guess. And then we've talked about movies from, or either on the podcast, you've had me watch from like Indonesia and stuff. And I find that a lot of that Asian horror, it to me seems to focus on some sort of drama that like is probably eclipses the horror aspects often. Like whether it's, and usually it's like some sort of familial drama, and that's really the movie with like some sort of supernatural element incorporated into it. So it ends up being like a drama. They often to me feel like drama horrors.
Yeah, that's about right. But I mean, a lot of like Thai ghost folklore is based on a woman scorned or a person who's like still looking for their lost love or something. I mean, and it's I can tell you, like, my wife is very like credulous when it comes to like ghosts and things like that. And I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but like every house has a shrine that is meant to be a place where the ghosts can live so that they won't be in like the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave like food and offerings outside to like appease the spirits that are in the area.
Right.
And they, you know, I mean, they just, it's just very much a part of their daily lives, I guess, is this like belief in the spiritual. So, but yeah, it does, like, because it's so heavily involved in like their own, I guess, daily whatever, you know, it's easy for them to like make these movies that are more drama based, or again, like it revolves around like the family has to harvest before so they can take everything to the market, because that's how they make their livelihood, which is again, like, you know, I watch my wife's family like live that same scenario like repeatedly throughout the course of the year, depending on like what crop is in season.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, my wife's father like gets up in the middle of the night when it's raining to go out and catch fish, because the fish will be closer to the surface and easier to see.
Right.
So like he'll get up like if it's raining overnight like multiple times. I mean, they live really close to like a river and a pond, but you know, and like go out into the friggin' like jungle almost to like catch these fish, just because like they have to. That's how you like make your living.
Yeah.
By doing that stuff. So I don't know. I wouldn't even say there's much chagrin in Death Whisper. I mean, it's got some actually pretty good performances in it. It's not like stilted or anything, and it's actually kind of well written. It's just not a very good horror movie, and definitely not worth the 2-hour runtime that it takes to sit through it. The crazy thing is it's one of the highest grossing horror movies in Thai history, to the point where like it's got like almost like a Titanic-esque run in terms of how long it was in movie theaters. To the point where like they discounted it so much that it had been in the theater so long that you could see Tiad is its name in Thai, I believe. That's the name of the ghost, like the folklore that it's based on. You could get it for like 50 cents to get into the theater to see a movie in like a major, like, you know, theater, whatever, like movie theater. So it was very popular.
Interesting.
So they also, like that Medium movie, I know that there's like a lot of Thai people that hate that movie because it's so like visceral and it also takes place in a part of the country that's really like different than a lot of the rest of Thailand. It's a place called Isan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like old traditions that the rest of the country doesn't take. Like, I don't know. My wife's explained it to me, but it's a place that's considered like they still have like really. I mean, like they believe in black magic and white magic everywhere in Thailand, but here it's like they really believe in like witchcraft and the power of spirits and anyway. So yeah, so not much chagrin with Death Whisperer, but not much to write home about either. So that we get to the movie that is, I guess, the chagrin movie of the evening.
All right.
Called Demon Tongue, which I found on Tubi.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what the fuck. Hold on, I gotta. It is a 2016. Uh-huh. I guess it's also known as The Door in the Woods, maybe?
Hmm.
I guess I can kind of see that. No, maybe not. Maybe that's a different movie. Anyway, Demon Tongue.
Demon Tongue.
So the premise of Demon Tongue.
That's a really funny cover.
Yeah. There are these four college students who are all paranormal investigators because that is their, like, course of study. Is the paranormal?
Mm-hmm. Parapsychology or something?
Yeah, whatever. They're not at Miskatonic University, though, which would have made it like more believable. They're in like Pennsylvania, I think, actually. So they're trying to, for their, I guess, like final paper, prove like a real haunting exists. And they find out about this place that's this. And I swear to God, it has to have been filmed in Florida because the name of the bar is like Gator Grub or something like that. And it's got like the Florida Gators mascot on it. But they're going to go like investigate this haunting. So, the movie opens. The first like 15 minutes of this movie are filmed in this faux sepia tone with like the newsreel cracks in it, you know, like when you're watching like old newsreel and you have like the breaks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
they downloaded that app to do that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure this was definitely filmed on like an iPhone or some shit.
Uh-huh.
So it's this woman murdering her family, and she hears like these voices whispering to her, and she draws these arcane symbols on the wall, and she murders her children, and then she murders her husband, and then. She lights the house on fire as the cops are arriving because the husband tried to call the police before she murdered him. So then 15 years later, whatever, these kids are going out to investigate this haunting. So, I mean, it's like, I guess the person that made this movie thought that they were making like these, I don't know, like archetypes out of these kids. Like there's the smart, cautious girl that's, you know, reserved, and her friend is like this wild, crazy, like party girl who's dating this guy who's a complete asshole and just like wants to prank everybody. And then the main girl's boyfriend is like this guy who's clearly like lusting after her, but he's trying to play it cool and be like the good guy so that she doesn't get like scared off or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's like dick shape jokes and condom jokes, and
yes,
they have a fucking professor who's their like mentor, but he doesn't want to come with them, so they go out there. No, they don't want to tell him about it because they're afraid he'll tell them not to go, because apparently when a house is haunted, haunting is contained. But when an area is haunted, you can't get a fix on where that ghost is. So it can, like, you know, it can come at you like any number of ways or some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
So they go out, and it's just like a fucking. I mean, I swear to God, it's got to be in Florida. It's got like volleyball nets up, and it's a bar and grill.
It's not. I looked it up. It's Pittsburgh, is where they
really.
Haunted. Yep.
Jesus Christ. Well, I guess that doesn't make any sense to me. I'd rather you not looked it up. So they go out, and of course, like, the first night, because they're going to spend a couple nights there to get their ghost. So the reserve girl, she's, like, hearing noises and stuff, and she's having these, like, premonitions, and she doesn't want to tell anybody because they might think she's crazy or whatever, some dumb reason. So her and her, like, man are, like, the other two have gone to bed, like, the crazy party girl and her boyfriend, they've gone to bed. So, like, oh, let's go take a walk and see if we can explore around and find some stuff. And they find this fucking set of, like, cellar doors in the middle of the woods. And they go down into them, and it's the basement from, like, the opening scene. Because apparently, like, that's where the murders took place. And when the house burned down, they just, like, plowed over it so no one would know. And so now, like, it's been... So it's, like, a fully furnished basement with, like... Like, everything's still intact from this fire or whatever 15 years before, which okay. is completely believable.
Right.
So they go down there, and the reserve girl automatically gets, like, this bad feeling, and, oh, my God, something terrible is going to happen. We got to get out of here. So they leave. So cut back, and Blondie and her boyfriend are fucking, and they finish having sex, and you see they're having sex on, like, the pool table. So the guy that owns this bar and grill has hired them to come out. Because he wants to, like, his bar is haunted, and he wants to get rid of the haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, like, purported themselves as Ghostbusters, kind of. So then they just fuck on his pool table.
Nice.
Like, that's fine. So then she wants to, like, she gets off the pool table, and she's, like, wearing a shirt from the place because she can't find her blouse. So she thinks, he says, oh, maybe it fell under the pool table. So she gets down. And she puts her hand under the pool table, and something, like, scratches her and leaves, like, this deep claw mark on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
So she freaks out, and then that's when the other two come back, and they're, like, bandaging her up, and the boyfriend's like, hey, let me look under here and see if I can find your blouse. And he reaches under, and he screams and pulls his hand back, and it's all bloody. But it turns out it was just ketchup packets that he squeezed in his hand because he's making fun of his, like, fucking girlfriend that just got injured. In some way that, like, they have no idea, like, what happened to her. So he's, you know, classy fella. So then she gets possessed by the demon in the, like, whatever, the demon that just exists.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple of shots of, like, it's like a first person view of, like, the demon, I guess, because it's always like, you know, like they do, like, whenever they're trying to do, like, whatever, evil speak or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
And it's just like a Walmart, like, Halloween, like claw, you know, like the thing you would buy for, like a costume at the store.
Uh-huh.
Like peeling, like pulling back the branches from the trees in the area to, like, spy on them.
That's fantastic.
So she gets possessed. So she wakes up the boyfriend, and she's like, hey, I got something I want to show you in the woods. And he's like, oh, I don't think we should do that. And she's like, well, I want to have sex with you. And he's like, oh, well, I'm always down for that. So
right.
She lures him into the woods. So they go down into haunted basement, and she has this giant proboscis come out of her mouth, like this giant tongue, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is the demon tongue. No, I'm sorry. The demon tongue is explained later. This is a demon tongue, but it's not called a demon tongue in the context of the movie.
Okay.
So I
can't wait for that then.
She hits him in the face, and it rips the skin off his face. So he's left just this, like, bloody skull on his body, and he dies. And that part actually looks really good. Like, they do it in, like, a quick succession of cuts to, like, illustrate it, but it actually, like, is pretty effective, and it's a good practical effect, so I'll give him some credit.
So no signs that when the person is possessed in this movie, there's no necessarily signs that they're possessed. They're just
They turn into a vampire from Buffy, basically, like every other fucking shit ass.
Well, I'm saying, like, when she woke up, she was possessed and wanted to take him to the woods. She doesn't show herself as being possessed at any point, like initially.
She's mean and she smokes cigarettes. Yeah. That's about like what, you know. She got a shitty attitude and she got a Pall Mall in her mouth. I mean, I guess that's how you know.
That explains a lot about people I've met. Yeah, all right.
So, in the meantime, the two, like, other lovebirds, they find out that they look on the internet and they find out about, like, this house that was there before that burned down and the history of it. And they call their professor and he's like, oh, I'll be right there. So he comes out. So then you get this, like, fucking soliloquy from the professor about what do they call it? It's like the Infernum dialect or something, or also known as the Demon Tongue, which is like what this book is written in that they found. And they found like the wife's diary, because that was apparently left behind after the house burned down. So he begins to suspect that somebody's possessed, and the blonde girl is like, oh, you know, my boyfriend got mad at me and he ran off. And they're like, well, where did he go? And she's like, I don't know, but, you know, obviously he's dead. But they all just kind of like take it at face value that, you know, that's what happened. So eventually the professor's like, why don't you take me to this place you found? Because he's already sussed out that that's like a place of evil. So she does, but then she kills him. And then she comes back, and it turns out that the demon wants to possess both of the women so they can, like, birth the Antichrist. I don't fucking know. Okay. So the other, like, the good boyfriend, he gets killed at some point, too. So then you get it seems like the mousy girl, like the calm one, has fought off the demon and whatever from her friend. And the guy that owns the bar comes back, and it's like, I don't know if it says how long it's, I guess it's implied to be like a week or so later. And he's like, oh, these fucking Ghostbusters, I better gotten rid of my ghosts. But the place has like cobwebs all over it, so I guess maybe it's meant to imply that it's been like that for a long time. And the girl is like, the mousy girl's like passed out on the fucking volleyball court, like the sand, volleyball sand. And he walks over and he picks her up to like carry her because she's covered in blood or whatever. And she pulls out a gun and basically blows his head off. And then her eyes are glowing red. So obviously, like, she's gotten possessed and is taking the fucking demon tongue with her.
Okay.
So that's fucking Demon Tongue.
That's it?
Yeah. There's really not much that happens in it. I mean, they also obscure. So the blonde gets naked a couple times because, you know, they're in a haunted house and that's what they want to do is, like, have sex.
Yes.
Well,
fear is a motivator, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But they, like, obscure her nipples. So you don't even get, like, real nudity. Like, every time you see her, it's, like, in shadow or whatever. So they couldn't even, like, give you that. Which is sometimes the only saving grace in these really bad, like, B horror movies.
Right.
So, yes, that's the Demon Tongue.
That sounds, dull.
It's not even, like, terribly written or anything. I mean, usually you can find some true enjoyment in those movies because the dialogue is awful or the premise is ridiculous. The premise is like the most bland, fucking normal premise ever for a movie like this. You know, I mean, it's like they should have done it as found footage because it fits in. And the fucking, the normal boyfriend, like the good guy boyfriend, is like filming shit the whole time. So they could have just done it as found footage and it probably would have been more effective.
Right.
Of course, it wouldn't have made any sense for you to see what's going on in fucking like secret haunted basement in the woods.
Mm.
I'm telling you what, when they walk up to these fucking, so they open these cellar doors in the woods. Sorry. And there's this like red glow coming out of it. So like at that point, maybe you don't go in it.
Right. Know?
But then when they go down there, it's all dark because obviously it's a basement of a house that no longer exists. Although even though the house caught on fire, it still has a roof. Also doesn't make any sense. And it's on a hillside. And apparently it's not underneath where the, I don't know. It's a stupid fucking movie. It's not worth talking about.
Sounds like you have a lot of questions, though.
I guess my number one question is, like, the house burned down because the original possessed woman lit it on fire and murdered her whole family and killed some cops. And so I guess the idea is that, like, they just buried the truth because nobody wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole premise of the movie is that this bar and grill is built on top of this, like, haunted house.
Yes.
But it's, like, a mile away in the woods. So did they relocate the basement somewhere else, or...
Right.
Did they walk in, like, a big circle and nobody understood, like...
Directions?
Right. So, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, overall, not a very... interesting week, I guess, but
mm-hmm. It sounds like you got something like a good movie out of it.
Night Shifter is genuinely a good movie and worth watching.
Right.
Death Whisperer is one of those things where maybe if all you have to stream is Netflix and you can't think of anything else to watch, then maybe it pops up and you watch it, but 2 hours is a really big investment for something that's like just kind of super boring.
Mm-hmm.
And then this movie is absolute trash and actually has, again, like the cover of the box is decent enough, whatever, for being Demon Tongue. And like the proboscis thing is actually pretty cool when it happens.
Yeah. So the writer, she has like some like D level horror movies like to her credit and a lot of shorts and stuff like that. There's two directors. One director has a lot of like C D horror like underneath of him, like at least like more than like a dozen movies of the vein. The other director is really odd. Like it's the only movie he's ever like directed, I guess co-directed here, but He does a lot of like set design and like in the movies that he's worked on, and then like made himself a producer, but it looks like he's Pennsylvania based kind of like exclusively, but did work on some things like back in the day and stuff like that. Is that right? Oh no, maybe that was the other guy that like worked on stuff, but Gavin Rapp is the one that like worked on stuff like back in the day, it looks like.
It feels like he makes a movie like every 7 years, kind of. So maybe we're due.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the guy who plays the professor, though, like he's Pennsylvania based, but not in recent years, but like back in the day, he had an interesting filmography to him, like you know, appearing in like Two Evil Eyes, which we've talked about. Day of the Dead is like one of the zombies, like a featured zombie. Dark Half, he was in. Lone Star, Lone Star is like a forgotten.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, like a forgotten '90s kind of like really good movie.
Noir.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was just feels like people that like to make movies and try to make a movie.
Here's a description of his most recent film. CIA washout Kaya Nova investigates the murders of two young Native American scientists killed after discovering a way to extract an infinite supply of free energy from the atmosphere.
Which movie is this?
This is called Walk the Sky.
Oh, you're looking at Gavin?
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking at the professor. Yeah, he's also and then he's also directing the entire TV miniseries called Holy Driver. The description there is Father Mike has a sit down with Donnie, a mob capo, and Carl, an undercover cop. He tells them that he and some other priests want a clean house and they need their help to dispose of a pedophile priest.
Oh, that's topical. Great. That's exactly what you want to exploit, is child abuse.
Yes, and he's going to bring together like crime and law in order to get it done. Oh my God, this looks I'm watching the trailer now. Hold on, we're going to watch this trailer. Holy shit. This is a mini series, dude. This is a mini series. All right. Share sound.
I lost my wife, my sister, my poor nephew. Kid was only a teenager. Some cops take up a collection for me. It's nice, but they know I'm not doing this shit for the money. This is personal. This priest was moved around to 5 different parishes. The church did it to hide him. But we got him.
We all feel. Oh my God.
What is that music?
And I know who owes us.
Dude, who was airing this miniseries?
Is it time to stop the killing? Not today.
Is that a big lead pipe? That's a giant lead pipe.
They call me the Holy Driver.
And once upon a set of wheels at the road, and I'm gone.
What the fuck? Some of the shit that exists out there.
Yeah.
Is that how that movie looked?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got you now.
Yeah, it's terribly filmed. The performances are pretty bad, too. It really is just like a couple of the practical effects are decent.
Yeah. That's like some of those like later like Paranormal Activity movies and shit like that, like when you get deeper into the franchise.
Yeah.
That I've watched. And did you watch any of that shit? There was a guy that was like just putting out like 5 movies a year on Prime that like started out like Paranormal Activity stuff, and it started out kind of serious. Oh, yeah. And then like turned into a joke.
Bad Ben or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I watched some of them.
Yeah. At least they were funny kind of and had heart, I guess, but yeah, those low budget things, like those are really low budget to do that. Damn. So, scores.
Night Shifter is like a 2 or a 3.
Mm-hmm.
2, I guess, you know, it's a good movie. It's worth watching. Death Whisperer is like a solid 5. Again, there's nothing like terrible about it per se, but there's also nothing like really enthralling. Fucking Demon Tongue is a soft 8, I guess. I mean, I can appreciate like whatever. It's if it was like WrestleManiac or whatever, it would be like worse, but yeah, it's just the guy's just like trying to get his ideas out on film, I guess, and
sure
working with what he can work with.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not good, but it's right. Not like bad in the way that, you know, I would say like, oh, like I would have texted Orion and be like, hey, watch this movie because it's so funny, because it's mm-hmm. not funny. Like, it's absolutely has no sense of humor to it whatsoever,
right?
And it just like happens and then it's over and it's just really bad the entire time.
So. And it's not unintentionally funny.
Like, no, I wish.
Yeah.
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 Like, the scenes where it's trying to be funny are just kind of, like, annoying.
Yeah.
Because it tries to use the one jackass, like, boyfriend as the comic relief aspect, and it just fails.
All right, well, let's go ahead and see if we can get you. Take your teeth into. Category for next week is hooting and hollering and pooping.
Right.
Hooting and hollering and pooping. God, I'm going to hate this fucking category so much.
I'm going to hate it too, because I got to find something that meets that description.
just that phrase, as funny as it is, just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I wish I could remember what that was. I remember saying it too, but I don't remember like what the context was.
You got anything? I'll find it. Well, maybe I'll find it. I'm pretty sure Ryan sent that to me. You watched a good movie though this weekend, right?
I watched Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
Which is a World War II, like, Nazi movie, kind of, that takes place outside of a concentration camp. So it's not like some fucking Jacob the Liar thing or whatever, where they're trying to take you inside, like, the walls of the camp. Like, everything is basically filmed outside the walls, but it's about a guy who is the commandant of the camp, and the banality of his life with his family, but also, like, you know, they'll be having dinner and you'll hear, like, screams from the crematoriums or gunshots, or they're in the river at one point and there's, like, a mistake at the crematorium and it causes, like human, like, body parts and stuff to float in the water, so the guy's got to get his kids out of it. Yeah, it's just, it's really good performances, really well filmed, very very Bergman-esque to me. Like Bergman, but then with, like, elements of it that are also, I don't know, I hate to always compare everything to Lynch, but there's, like, some very, like, Lynchian moments in it. There's a minor subplot where, well, there's a, one of the biggest points of the movie is that they have these Jewish girls from the camp working for them as, like, domestics. And just, like, he uses them for, it's implied that he uses them for sex, and she's, like, super condescending and mean to him. And at one point makes the comment, like, my husband could have your ashes spread all over something, like some area of Germany. And she's sneaking out at night and, like, risking her life to take food and hiding it where, like, the camp workers are being sent to work so they can, like, eat. And that's filmed in, like, night vision almost, which is a really interesting choice. But yeah, just, I don't know, it's really good. It's on Prime, maybe, or Max. Right now, I guess, Max, because it's an A24 movie.
Yeah, it's Max, yeah.
I actually thought of something, because you and I were talking before that you didn't really have anything. I have something I want to talk about, kind of. There's going to be, I think, a pretty serious spate of what have the potential to be, like, instant classic horror movies this summer. So you have Cuckoo. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No.
Cuckoo comes out soon. Maxine comes out soon. Long Legs is in the summer. The new Alien movie comes out relatively soon, and all of those movies look great. And then Abigail comes out on Friday, and Abigail looks fucking fantastic.
Which one is Abigail?
Abigail's the one with the little girl who's trapped in a cage, and it turns out that she's a vampire, and she's, like, stalking these vampire hunters.
No, this is, we watched this trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in the house and stuff. Yeah. She's like a ballerina
yes.
vampire. Yeah.
The movie that takes place in the house. Hooting and hollering and pooping.
What was the first one that you said?
Cuckoo.
Okay, I'll have to look that one up. That's the only one I don't know.
That one looks the most. That's the one that I'm the least sure of that I'll enjoy, but I think also has like maybe the greatest potential to just be like a crazy, fucked up, like psychological horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a huge fan of Pearl or whatever the sequel to X was called.
Right.
But I think Maxine looks fucking phenomenal. And it's got like a huge cast in it. It just looks really good. That's Maxine with three X's.
Yes.
And I'm always willing to give Ty West the opportunity, you know, to show me what he's got, I guess. Yeah. I think that Alien movie looks amazing. I think that...
has there been anything longer than like the 60 second? Yeah.
Nah, that's it. And that looks really good.
I mean, Fede Alvarez has proven himself, I think, so far.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
So, yeah. I'll check out whatever he does.
Long Legs, I think. There's another, like, 30-second trailer got released in front of something that came out this weekend. Cage also has that...
Yeah, that just came out this past weekend, right?
Yeah.
Arcadian?
Arcadian that's gotten like middling reviews, but it seems like it could be okay.
Yeah.
It's not really my cup of tea, but there's the Quiet Place prequel that comes out soon. And then you'll have Nosferatu next year. There's also the Strangers prequel or whatever that comes out, which I don't care about.
Right.
Comes out next month. But yeah, there's at least four or five horror movies that are really like promising that'll be out within the next 6 months that I'm excited for. And you got the Furiosa prequel, which looks amazing.
Right.
So I'm super excited for that too. So
then is it this year that the Terrifier movie comes out? Or is it next year? Didn't we like see it, like looked it up before, and it's like fucking 2025 or some dumb shit, like the end of 2025.
Yeah, that might be right.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, that's a long time. No, hold on. It says 2024 here. Let's see. Oh, does it have a release date? Oh, yeah, it is this year. It's October of this year. Maybe we looked it up last year and thought that was a long way away. But
I was not a fan of Terrifier 2, but I will definitely watch. You express surprise every time I say that. You didn't listen to me when you talked about this movie.
Maybe it's because I'm just so flabbergasted that you did. I mean, I understand there's some things that aren't
this
great
is,
about it.
This,
but like,
this is literally the third time on the Spin Chagrin that I've had to listen to you go, what? When I've said I was not a fan of Terrifier 2.
I think if you go back, I'll have to find that episode. And I think if you go back and listen to it, I think you liked it and had problems with it. And now you've decided that.
I thought it was overly long. I thought the plot was dumb. I didn't like the whole, like, avenging angel thing. I thought the bedroom scene was absolutely gratuitous and way too long. And even though I know that's kind of like the point of his filmmaking style, like, it was just like a little too much. And I didn't like the introduction of like the little girl Terrifier thing or whatever. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was stuff in it that I thought was still well done. And I love that guy that plays Art the Clown. I think it's one of the most
sure.
Like instantly iconic horror performances, like maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to me, it ranks up with Myers and Voorhees and whatever, like just in terms of being like an immediately recognizable and uncomfortable character when you see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Terrifier, and I was really disappointed with Terrifier 2.
Yeah, I remember being overly long. And a couple things I didn't like, but like especially like I just thought the ending was really long, I remember. Like just went on for too much.
Oh, I watched Night Swim.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that just didn't fit the category, right? But that was a Shrin movie, basically, right?
Well, I wanted to bite my tongue off while I was watching it. You want to shoehorn it in. It's not even... It's a ridiculous premise, the idea of a haunted swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's pretty ingeniously worked into, I think, the way that they build up to it, where the point where I wanted to be more invested in it than I was, but again, it's just really boring. Not much happens because it all has to take place in a pool. It has to be very specific as to like when someone is interacting with the evil. Cause you know, you got to be in the fucking pool to have it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend it. I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah. It sounded fucking stupid to me, so...
I thought it would be really funny, because I thought it was going to be like Friday, Saturday the 14th or something, where it's like the fucking Gill Man is, like, hiding in the bathtub or whatever. Kind of an idea. But the premise is... And you don't even find out this premise until, like, an hour plus into the movie, which I also think is a disservice, because I think had they set the premise first so that you knew as the viewer, and then had, because the movie, it's one of those ones where it's like, here's 1981 and this terrible thing happens to this family, where this little girl like dies in the swimming pool, and then it cuts to the future where a fucking US agent is there. He's a baseball star that's like got some degenerative nerve disease, and he's rehabbing, and they bought this new house, and bad things start to happen centered around the pool. But the premise is that there was a spring that was there that was used by like the indigenous people for like healing or whatever.
Okay.
And the only way that the spring worked, it was kind of like a fountain of youth type thing, but the only way it worked was if something was sacrificed to it. So putting the pool on top of it had essentially like blocked it off, except that like it still needed the sacrifice in order to you know, provide like regenerative powers or whatever. So the ending of the movie's fine. It's kind of like I don't know, like he ends up sacrificing himself, US agent ends up sacrificing himself to save his family, which it's fine, I guess, but nothing really happens for long stretches of that movie.
Calling him US agent is so funny.
I don't know what else to call him. Fucking fake Captain America. I don't know his name.
It's Wyatt Russell. It is Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son.
Yeah, you said that last night and I already forgot.
Yeah.
He's
gonna be a big star.
I don't know. With that Cro-Magnon forehead, I don't know. Yeah, it's just really boring. I don't know. And sometimes I can take that if, like, the payoff is good. And I didn't think the payoff was terrible, but it just didn't really grab me. But I will say that it was far better than I thought it would be just based on the premise.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to really watch anything. I know you... I suspect you'll never watch it. Because it's television, but so I will just quickly say that I think that the Fallout series is actually pretty good.
Oh no, I'll watch it.
Okay.
Frankie and I are gonna watch it together, but he's going to Florida on Tuesday.
Gotcha.
So I wanted to give it a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was pretty, I won't give any spoiler, I just thought it was pretty faithful to that universe overall, and told a very similar type of story that Fallout games stories often tell, and I thought that it was pretty referential. In terms of like the type of character building that happens and like all of like the stuff that's in that universe, like the factions and all of that. And good performances pretty much all around throughout. And the plot, I mean, it does a lot in the first season just to kind of like establish that world and kind of like move you to like maybe like the end of the first act of the story, I would say. But compared to like other things that Prime has tried to do in terms of like taking IP and turning it into something, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, it's not out of this world, but I can see a lot of people that aren't familiar with Fallout like watching it and like thinking it's like fucking amazing. Like, so yeah, but I enjoyed it overall. It was good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it, and I will end up watching it.
And Walton Goggins is always just like stellar. Like, that guy's like this treasure that like is kind of like underrated, I think, still, despite like how many people like actually love him for different roles. But yeah, that guy's just great. But yeah. But that's pretty much the only thing I've got like that I ended up like watching like this week. But we will have on the primary podcast here soon a deep dive with friend of the podcast Michael Bledsoe on The Good and the Bad and the Ugly coming up here this month. And then of course we will be continuing our journey through the Saw universe over the course of like the next like month and a half, where we'll be covering 6 and 7, Jigsaw and Spiral, and then wrapping it all up with Saul X.
And X gonna give it to you.
You're right. Yes. I don't know what it is. But yes, X is certainly gonna give you something. So, and then next week we will be back with this fucking category, Hootin' and Hollerin' and Poopin'.
Pooping.
God, it just puts in my the image that like I think of in my mind is like Deliverance type people for some reason, and it makes me really uncomfortable just thinking of like that entire category.
Oh, there's another movie that came out this weekend that I forgot about, called Sting. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No, I don't
The
think
giant
so.
spider movie?
What is it?
A giant spider movie?
Oh, no.
It looks really fucking great.
Yeah.
I know that you're not a huge fan of animal horror necessarily, but I really like that kind of stuff when it's good, and I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I'm not a f you're right. I am not a fan of animal horror. Like I don't I can't I'm trying to think if there's like a single thing that like I actually really like. That's like an actual animal, like of some sort.
Jaws.
I came around on that when we talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still.
Grizzly is pretty decent. I like Piranha in like a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. They're
Yeah.
just fun, I think, usually.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But yeah, Charles is good, but
That Rogue movie is good. The Australian giant alligator movie.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're right. I just don't like them. Like, I just don't like the
Right.
idea of them. Like,
Because I thought Crawl was fantastic, and you.
oh, that movie was, I mean, you thought it was actually fantastic, I think, to some degree. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I had a really good time watching it because it was fucking stupid. But yeah, but it's not a good movie to me at all.
You'll come around on when we do a top five animals attack movies.
That's fine. That's not gonna happen. But it's good to, it's good to dream.
Look, I'll trick you into it.
Oh, okay.
I get to pick a couple categories a year.
Yeah. All right.
The next top five movies Frank loves but Chris hates.
We still got a fucking what? That's not a thing. It's not a thing at all.
It should be.
Fuck, I still got my list saved somewhere of like all the things that are indifferent and hates, and there's enough on the fucking hates too, but
no, you ain't kidding.
Make you watch fucking Midnight Run. All right, so we'll be back next week with Hootin' and Hollerin' and Poopin'.
I have no idea. Usually I have like at least two or three movies. I don't know what fucking I'll find something. I guess.
Monkeys throwing shit at people. Like
no. I love that.
That's the second thing that comes to mind after like Deliverance. So, all right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Deuces.